This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Been a bizarre playoffs in a lot of ways. You have last night, Chris Middleton absolutely lighting it up. You have Trae Young getting injured. You have so many different issues that have popped up through injuries throughout the postseason. Yeah. It is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. That's where we are headed right now to welcome in Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick,
OG, triple triple.
Big Perk, it is Chris Carlin along with Bart Scott. When you look at these two series right now, can the Clippers and can the Hawks find their way back into them?
Well, first of all, fellas, I appreciate y'all having me on. But when I look at the Clippers and I look at what's going on with their situation being down 3-1, Chris Paul coming back, you know, he has that bad taste in his mouth from blowing a few 3-1 leads in his career, and they're coming back home to Phoenix where that crowd is going to be rowdy, where Devin Booker, I believe, is going to get out of his slump. I don't think the Clippers have a chance of coming back in this series. I actually think it's over tonight. I think the Suns are going to come out with a different type of mindset. I think the fans are going to rally, especially around the role players. They're going to play well. They're going to make shots. And I see this series being over tonight. Boys with the Hawks. The Hawks had a chance. They jumped out on the Bucks last night, 22-8. And the Bucks just slowly walked them down and made it a game. And the Bucks shot horrible from the three-point line. And Chris Middleton went nuts in the fourth quarter, which he's capable of doing because he's so damn skilled. Giannis is not selling. He's attacking the paint. And I get it. Trae Young, he rolled his ankle. But in my opinion, I just feel like the Hawks just don't have enough bullets. You know, if Trae Young is not dropping 40-plus, I feel like they can't beat the Bucks. Jrue Holiday had a horrible night on both ends of the floor, and the Bucks still came out with the win. So with that being said, I still have the Bucks winning this series in six. I don't think the Hawks can come back and pull this off.
Yeah, and I think right now the Hawks are kind of – they hit their ceiling, right? They don't have that championship pedigree. They don't have the experience. So they don't have anything that they can recall on and say, hey, man, listen, we can figure this out. These are the adjustments. This is what worked before. But I think they are getting that experience. And I think the fact that Bogdanović hasn't really showed up for this series, he struggled, has been the problem. They really don't have a legitimate number two score. And, you know, Chris Middleton going off yesterday was right on time, and sometimes we – don't give him enough credit, I believe, because he's a star, kind of, sort of, but for them, he's a superstar. And I think that the Bucks get it done. But to go back to your point over there in Phoenix, do you think that the young team of the Phoenix Suns are going to be able to have that killer instinct, as you know, that the Clippers aren't going to go quietly into the night, that this may be, if they're going to win another game, it's probably going to be this one to have the best chance because their back's against the wall playing against a team that's not desperate?
Well, absolutely, because they are killers. And you got to look at their leadership, though. Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, they have the killer instinct. And we heard what DeAndre Ayton said post-game. What did he say? Best thing happened for me was Chris Paul. We already know that DeAndre Ayton, the skill set was there, the athleticism was there. But Chris Paul installed that killer mentality. We already know what type of mindset Devin Booker has. Do we think Devin Booker is really going to have three games in a row? And by the way, again, I'm going to repeat that the Suns fan base in that arena is probably – the most exciting arena in this year's playoffs, meaning it's loud. These role players feed off of that. So I do see them seizing the moment. Nice head coach that's doing a hell of a job, that holds them accountable, that makes sure they stay a course, that makes sure that they never get too high, never get too low. I see Phoenix closing this out tonight.
Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, joining Chris Carlin, Bart Scott here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Kendrick, you this week called Chris Paul the MVP of the league. So let me throw out this idea. Should we change when the voting for these major awards is until after the playoffs, or are the playoffs going to skew that too much? Because maybe more people need to get a better look at the impact like Chris Paul has had.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't say we should change when the voting happens. I should say we should make sure that we keep the goalposts in the middle when the voting does happen, instead of moving it to solidify what MVP means, okay? And it goes to show you, because throughout the history of MVPs, every year is something different.
Yeah.
Whether it's a guy having a high PER, whether it's this guy doing this, the guy having the best record in the NBA. And it just goes back to the point that I'm about to make when Steve Nash won it. The Phoenix Suns were red hot. Kobe Bryant averaged 35 that year. He was clearly the best player. He had the least – his roster wasn't that talented. But yet, he still got them to the playoffs. He didn't win the MVP. They gave it to Steve Nash, who was averaging 18 and 11. So when I look at CP3 and I look at with Steve Nash, same organization, same position, same results. So why has it changed? To me, I think we get it confused with most valuable player and most dominant player. They do. It's a difference between the two. Off this team, and what would this team be? This Phoenix Suns team haven't been to the playoffs since 2010. But now they're in the Western Conference Finals and possibly on their way to going headed to the finals, which they hadn't been since when, 1993? Are you kidding me? This is MVP. This is what an MVP looks like.
Now, another former MVP is on the other side, Kawhi. And the fact that he's up in the booth with the 7-Eleven shirt – it's kind of funny, right? Because 7-Eleven is open 365 days a year, all day, 24 hours, and he's off the shelf up in the booth. Because he's up in the booth, does that tell you that maybe that he's done for the playoffs, even if they're able to push it to a game six? And if that's been said, what is his legacy with the Clippers, knowing that he can possibly be gone after this season?
I don't think he's going anywhere. And I think something else is really going on that they keeping under the radar. That's why he's in the suite. I think, you know, as far as him like not moving around, getting up and down from off the bench and things to that nature. Well, Kawhi Leonard will be a Clipper next year. Okay? And so at the end of the day, he knows he has unfinished business. And Kawhi Leonard, one thing about him that we all should know is that he has pride. And he's going to make sure that he went to the Clippers for a reason. One, yes, he's from L.A. Two, is that, you know, he wants to make sure that he handles his business.
Now, and that's crazy because, you know, we had Stephen A. on about a month ago, and he said it was a very known secret that he may go down to Miami and join Jimmy Buckets, you know, and you talk about Miami offers the same thing that maybe the Clippers can't, because they have a great coach, but also they have a great leader in Pat Riley, and they have a legacy. Right. They have a team that's, you would think that Kawhi wouldn't have to be the alpha male, because Jimmy Buckets can handle that as well. So he doesn't have to be the alpha male, where you think about playoff P, you know, sometimes come up small. You know, Jimmy Buckets is always going to bring
it. Yeah, absolutely. And look, I would say that if Kawhi was healthy and he was playing and they didn't make it to where they want to go, Barton, that's to win the championship. But due to the circumstances and him getting injured, I think that changes the whole thought process of him joining Miami. Now, if he was healthy and they were on the verge of losing and he was doing his part but others wasn't stepping up, then I would consider that entertaining that conversation. But now, since he got hurt, I think he comes back next year. I think he feels like, you know, he owe it to the organization. He owe it to Paul George. He owe it to Ty Lue to come back, and Clipper Nation to come back and try to redeem and bounce back and help them deliver a championship in, well, I don't know if they're going to be in the Staples Center next year, but probably in Inglewood. I don't know. Steve Ballmer got so much money, the arena might be built in 3 months. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's a familiar voice of Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott. Kendrick, what's your take on the Chauncey Billups hire and how that could affect the Dame Lillard situation in Portland?
Well, here it is with Chauncey, right, Chris? And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I don't indulge in no type of bad behavior, you know, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's rape. You know, I don't agree with none of that. At the end of the day, you know, there's no criminal charges were filed against Chauncey. Chauncey went on. This happened when he was 19 years old. He settled in court. It was settled. I'm not here to be a judge. I'm here to be a basketball analyst. I know Chauncey went on to have a borderline, if not Hall of Fame, basketball career as a player. He's well-respected around the NBA. Was a former ESPN analyst and was damn good at it. I thought he was going to be a general manager. And Damian Lillard was asked the question, who do you want? And he said, I either want J. Kidd or Chauncey Billups. J. Kidd ended up saying, I don't want to go to Portland. He went to Dallas. Okay, you get Chauncey. This is who your franchise guy wants. This is who your superstar wants. And I think Chauncey Billups is the right fit. He's a point guard that played the position. He knows the game from top to bottom. To me, he was part of one of the greatest championships with that 2004 Detroit Pistons. Preach. He understands what role player needs. He knows how to coach each player differently because he was the leader of that Detroit Pistons team. So imagine, he had to deal with certain egos. We know Sheed Wallace, that's our boy. I love him to death. But he had to be the one to control Sheed, right? He had to control all those egos. So one thing about Chauncey, he's a great dude. He knows the game of basketball. Dame wanted him. He wanted Dame. I think it's going to work out perfectly fine.
With that being said, how do they improve that roster then, right? Because we think that Melo probably is going to go to L.A., right? And that's not one of the most desirable locations, you know, in the Western Conference. I don't know how many people want to run up to Portland. You think about, you know, it's going to be openings in Golden State. You know, the Lakers are going to be, you know, big game hunting, the Clippers as well. How do you get a third star? You know, we thought Nurkic could be that, but how do they get a third star and attract him there? Is Chauncey and Dame Dollar enough?
Well, you know what? I think it's a new look. So he's gonna put, I think you give it one more shot with CJ McCollum, because I don't know if there's anything out there that's gonna you could get better at than CJ. But you got to find out what you're going to do with Nurkic, okay? Get you a better center. And just go out there and search the market and find you some wings. It's not that difficult to match some guys that's going to come in and play alongside Dame Dollar and CJ McCollum. But it got to be the right pieces. And we all see, just looking at the Atlanta Hawks, a new voice, a new head of the snake in the locker room makes all the difference in the world, right? Just look at when Nate McMillan took over from where the Hawks were to where they are now. The way that Trae Young is playing the game of basketball, all that matters. The voice in the locker room, what these guys respect out of, how they respect their coaches, all that matters. So at the end of the day, it's up to Neil to make sure he go out there and get the right pieces. It's up to Neil to make sure he surround Dame with the right talent. It don't have to be. You got CJ and Dame. You got enough. Look, the Portland Trailblazers could score with the best of them. The problem is that they couldn't guard a caged dog this year. That's the problem with them. So that's what they have to fix. Nurkic, finding a center that's going to buy into his role, those are the areas that they have to clean up.
Awesome stuff, Kendrick. We appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Hey, Chris, boy, appreciate y'all, man. Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
Hey, you man. Too. Thank you.
Kendrick Perkins, ESPN.
Hands off show.
NBA analyst bringing the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So here's a little something for you that's new.
The something?
Last week we're talking about Scottie Pippen, who's got the bourbon coming out. He's got the book coming out.
Compete.
Went on the Dan Patrick show today.
Ah.
One of the issues that came up wasn't just about Jordan, but it was also about that final shot with the Knicks and in 1994 in Game 3. And that he asked out when Kukoc was getting the call. So here is the exchange between Dan Patrick and Scottie Pippen. You'll remember Pippen the other day indicated that he felt it was racial in terms of the motivation to GQ. So Dan Patrick said, by saying it was a racial move, you're calling Phil Jackson a racist. Pippen, I don't have any problem with that. Dan Patrick, do you think Phil was? Pippen, oh yeah. Wow.
He was a hippie.
Phil Jackson is...
Where the hell is Phil? Phil's probably somewhere, some teepee somewhere. We got to find Phil. We need a rebuke.
Nah. Phil is as liberal as they come and as progressive as they come. And listen, I don't know him personally, but that is a pretty big one to throw out there on somebody. And look, I get it. You got to sell some bourbon, but calling somebody else a racist instance.
That's a label, man. That's tough. That's tough. You don't do that unless you know without a fact.
Look, I get Pippen being upset that Jordan's gone and this is your chance to be the guy.
Yeah.
And they want Tony Kukoc to take the shot because he's the best shooter on the floor.
Yeah, but to call somebody a racist, man.
Exactly. And
that's tough.
When you're Pippen and you ask out of the game when you're not getting the ball, and then you come on The Last Dance later and say, I would have done the exact same thing over again?
Yeah.
Boy, there were so many opportunities over the last year and a half for Pippen to look like a sympathetic figure in all this, and this is an awfully difficult one to throw at somebody.
Yeah, you don't throw that lightly, right? And so
especially towards somebody that has a reputation of...
Man, so like
being
liberal.
As inclusive as could be. Yeah.
So is he saying that he the one who told Jordan to pass to Kerr? Because he wanted Kerr to be the hero.
Yeah, Paxton. Or Paxton, same thing. I don't think that was it. It was like, the huddle.
It was like Legendary Nights. He was booby. He'd get the team down to the goal line.
They went into the huddle. Phil said, Michael, who's open? He said, Paxton. That's why they passed the ball to Paxson and he started hitting threes against the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Cousins' finest moment. You know, at some point you have to grow up and you don't do that. Like, I think Phil was good to him. Now, if he had a problem with Jerry Krause and whatever, that's something totally different. But you think the intimate relationship that Phil and that whole core had, Phil, Last Dance, understanding it was going to be the Last Dance, understanding that your star, the superstar, is black, like –
This has a bad feeling since that came out. Yeah. It has a terrible feeling since The Last Dance came out that Pippen has felt.
Well, Horace Grant was pissed off too. Horace Grant did not agree with it. Like how.
And I kind of understand it a little bit more than the Pippen stuff because Pippen early in that looked like a sympathetic figure. How could Reinsdorf not pay him more money?
Looked like he was forced to take a contract because he had to take care of his family and how bad his family was living in Arkansas. And all that stuff, and they took advantage of his desperation.
And Reinsdorf can't sit there and tell me you begged him not to take the contract. I mean, that's absurd. But now you're...
No, don't do it. Here's a pen.
Look, Scottie has had a rough year, certainly with losing his oldest a few months ago.
And then his stuff with, you know, his public thing with his wife, his ex-wife, and dealing with Future and dating. It's been rough.
Right now, it looks like Scottie does not have all his ducks in a row, and I'm not... taking anything away from any accusations without any kind of personal knowledge of the situation.
Yeah.
But this is the first we're hearing about it all these years and years and years later. And it just happens to be in the midst of all of this other stuff going on. I don't even want to be that guy.
But before the book, it was The Last Dance. So it's not like he wasn't making money off The Last Dance. So he wasn't trying to sell The Last Dance.
No, but I get the impression that he was hurt by how he was portrayed in The Last Dance.
Right.
Which... I mean, frankly, I would blame most of how he was portrayed in The Last Dance on him.
Well, on MJ, because he had final control of the final edit.
But when Scottie said,
"Yeah,
I would do the exact same thing and ask out of the game again," that to me is where you lose me.
Well, maybe he was doing that because he felt Phil was racist. So it's perception versus reality. His perception is maybe he was treated differently. Michael was so great. that Michael wasn't seen as anything other than a guy, but when it came time for him to get the respect that he deserves. Like, athletes, the worst thing you can do to an athlete is make him feel slighted. And it makes it feel like he was slighted his entire career because he's one of the top 50 players of all time, but he doesn't get the respect he deserves. I feel like Charles Barkley doesn't get the respect that he deserves. And I feel like sometimes, you know, Patrick Ewing, like we crown our stars and it's usually based on their personality. You know, Dennis Rodman gets more love than Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was a better player.
Yeah.
And it's like weird because I think sometimes we grade people personalities and Scottie doesn't have a great personality. So he doesn't come off well. It's almost like Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier. Like Joe Frazier couldn't speak. He wasn't witty. He wasn't funny. It's like T.O. and it's like Chad Johnson. Like T.O. doesn't get the same respect and love and like where people want him around like Chad Johnson.
So when you hear Pippen say that, and as somebody that you believe is your cousin,
yeah,
because one of your family names is Pippen, the last thing you think is what?
Man, I just think he's hurt. And I think this is a cry for help. And I think that guys like Phil, guys like Jordan need to come and they need to come together and they need to talk it out because clearly he's been carrying a lot of bags for a long time and this is a way to outlet it. I mean, I remember seeing Joe Frazier talk about, you know, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was just trying to make fun, sell fights. But Joe Frazier's the one who gave, you know, Muhammad Ali money when he couldn't box.
Yep.
He's the one that gave him the title shot. And all the slander that he had, called him an Uncle Tom, all that stuff, he said, man, they cut like razor blades inside. And he had long-lasting pain from what Muhammad had did, and Muhammad just thought he was being funny and being an entertainer and selling the fight. But understand that words hurt. Not everybody has Teflon shoulders where things fall off and they understand it. And I think that Scottie is a guy that has internalized a lot of things. And when you get of this age and you start looking at your legacy and then now they're portraying you a certain way, I think that you can hold grudges. And I think he's truly, truly hurt.
Barton Hahn coming to you live from the Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We had Kendrick Perkins a few minutes ago who brought us some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. On the way, MLB had its first ejection over the weekend regarding the sticky stuff, but it wasn't without its controversy, of course. All of that coming right after Bart tells you about our friends from Credit Karma.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there is no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you can win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. When you make these purchases between now and June 30th, you will automatically be entered for a chance to win $1 million. All you have to do is go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and have a chance to start winning some instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchases necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Audio files, your calls, we promise. Back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
Finally, an ejection.
Bo knows that.
You've been waiting for the sticky stuff to get somebody tossed out of the game, and it happened. It happened, but it didn't happen quietly, as you would expect. It is Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The man is Hector Santiago. This is Audio File. He's the first one to get tossed, and it happened yesterday, Bart. They confiscated Hector Santiago's glove. They put it in a bag. They're sending it to New York forensics. It is all happening. I can tell you what.
We need the SVU music. Like, you should have been able to push a button. Dum, dum,
dum. I have seen enough Law and Order to know that I saw this thing's getting thrown out of court. This is not going to work.
Not admissible. Too many hands have touched it.
Well, here is Mariners pitcher Hector Santiago on what happened. And if, in fact, he is, guilty.
Third inning coming out of the game, I'm expecting him obviously to check me every inning. I kind of joked around with him moving like if I was going to run away because I know I wasn't using anything besides rosin, you know, what's given to us. Because going into this, once it came up, I was just like, I'm going to use rosin. That's what we got. I don't want this to be a big thing. I don't want this to happen to me.
So I know nothing. Nothing at all. Only using rosin. But yet there was something on the glove that made them throw him out of the game.
What happens? Like, are you able to contest a loss? Like, if it comes back that he was not supposed to be ejected out of the game, that they go back and they say, yeah, it was rising.
Well,
was.
I mean, if you want to get to that far, you
can protest suspended, right? Because he's suspended, right? So yeah. is he fighting?
He's suspended for 10 games. So assuming that this all gets... back to New York, and they're looking at it, and
is he fighting this?
It's not clear how that goes yet, but you would have to believe, based on that answer, that he's going to be fighting this.
Right, so what happens is, in regular sports, when you have, when you're fighting something, you don't have to serve the suspension, right? So is this something where he's going to be allowed to have his next two starts?
I think, Bart, once they do the forensics on this,
the crazy thing is,
they send this to the coroner.
It is a bank robbery right now that has been held up because we're trying to push baseball gloves to the front of the forefront of the line.
It should have been like the town with him pouring all kinds of alcohol all over the glove to get away with the fingerprints and all the rest of the stupid stuff that he had on there, whatever it was.
Oh, man.
He got nailed, so he was the first one to get ejected.
Well, somebody had to be the first. and if you ain't first, you last.
And speaking of sticky substances, our old buddy Trevor Bauer. Feels like this really needs to be defined.
Where it stands right now, I would have liked it to be done in the off season. And then you need to have some sort of approved grip on the ball, whether you're going to say it's just rosin on the back of the mound, or you're going to give pitchers an approved substance, or whatever the case is. But you need to have some objectivity to it too, where an umpire isn't just we saw earlier today an umpire checks and thinks the glove is sticky, but we don't know what sticky is or isn't. No one's really defined that. Some guys sweat and use rosin.
Put it in a trash bag.
Some guys sweat and use rosin and get sticky. Like, everyone's so different. So you need to have some objectivity to it. And instead of the umpires checking, let's just handle it like TSA, where you walk in the dugout, there's a third party there, they swab your hand, they swab your glove, run it through a machine, and if you have over a certain amount of a certain substance on your hand or on your glove, it flags it, and then you can make the decision and the discipline around that. That way you're not doing it on the field, and whatever the case is.
Wait a minute, Trevor. Do you think there's actually going to be a machine that can detect bomb-making materials on the same level as trying to find out if you have pine tar on your glove?
You can program anything to figure out what substance it is. This is crazy, right? When you think about coming out there and having to... He put it in a garbage bag, so what's going to happen is...
That's inadmissible.
The umpires are going to have to take a course to figure out what's sticky and what's not. You know what I'm saying? In the offseason, they're going to have to put aside time to really come up with a uniform way that all umpires, how they check it and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Man, they're going to have to put some resource, and they're going to have a real machine in the back to take the glove in, run it through the airport, and determine whether it's, this is a mess.
Then you're going to have...
It's going to be a work stoppage, man. We're not having baseball until next summer.
At least they'll have time to figure it out. I mean, that thing's getting thrown in the garbage bag. We're going to start having chain of custody problems. Who grabbed it? Deflated footballs.
I thought it was supposed to be the bio bag, right? Shouldn't it be a bio bag? Shouldn't it be red? And shouldn't it have hazardous on there sealed up? Vacuum sealed it so you can tell if it's been opened? Because now he's going to say, listen, I don't know if somebody put it on there when they were sending it there.
We're watching too much Law and Order, man. We really are. This feels more criminal intent-ish to me than the regular law.
SBU is a little different. Shout out to Ice-T. Yeah, there we go. Who's the guy that came back? Who was gone forever? He came back.
Chris Maloney?
Yeah, he came back.
Yeah.
Bad outfit with the pink and green shirt. Yeah, bad look. I don't know. That was a bad look for him.
Then there's Kawhi. We were talking about Kawhi a little while ago with Kendrick and what his future holds. Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, on whether or not Kawhi would actually leave the Clippers.
He crawled over glass to get here. He said goodbye to two championship-winning teams. He told the Spurs he didn't want to be there. That was a championship team. Then he went to Toronto, had a title team that probably could have won another title had he stayed there. And he said, no, I'm pulling the ripcord on this, and I'm starting over in the place where I want to play. I just don't see, even though you have places like Miami or New York, he could go, and I wouldn't even be surprised if maybe he takes a meeting or something, but I just can't see him upending what he's got going. I think the tough thing for the Clippers will be how many years would he re-sign for? Does he give them two or does he give them five? And what do they do to address the needs on the roster when they don't have any draft picks to trade and they've spent mostly all their free agent money?
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
So, listen, one thing Kawhi isn't is a dumb man. He can see a sinking ship. He understands that LeBron, they're going to have plenty of money, as we think that maybe Kuzma is going to be gone, right? And maybe a guy like Dinwiddie is going to be added. That gives them another lethal score, another piece to the puzzle. And you know that Golden State's going to come back with a vengeance. Golden State's been taking names for a couple of years. Now, everybody that's got jokes and they think it's funny to be kicking while they're down as Klay still tries to rehab to come back. Why wouldn't he go to Miami?
One thing I'll point out there, we talked about him sitting up in the suite.
Yeah.
Did you notice that he was sitting on the stairs of the suite and not in the chair? Like, he was not sitting at one of the tables.
He didn't want anybody to see the brace.
I think he's got that brace on his leg, and he can't do anything, so he needs to keep it straight, and the only way to do that is on the stairs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But it's under his pants. Yeah. There's no way Kawhi's playing again in these playoffs.
So that means after a while, when the swelling's gone, he's going to be getting surgery, and we won't see Kawhi maybe until sometime after the All-Star break next year. If it's the ACL, if it's not a full tear, then you would say it's a little bit less. But if it's a full-on tear,
it'll be a while. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. Can Daniel Jones lead the Giants to a Super Bowl, Bart? Well, one former Super Bowl champion thinks so. That's next. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott.
Bart and Han.
Tagada!
I know I've heard it before, but somebody's very high in Daniel Jones. 888-SAY-ESPN. It is Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, let us hear from Keyshawn Johnson and get his take on the Giants quarterback and where he is headed this season.
Think about Daniel Jones and all the pieces that he has around them now. There's no excuse for him other than his own ability. Saquon Barkley is back healthy, it seems. You got a plethora of skill position players. They've addressed the offensive line. They've addressed the defensive side of the ball. So can Daniel Jones lead the Giants to a Super Bowl opportunity on his rookie deal? Yes, he can. Does it have to happen before they pay him? No. No, they can pay him if they decide this year he's worthy of a contract extension after a fifth-year option or whatever, however they want to structure it and do it. I don't think that it's a stress to get one done before they address his contract.
Bart Scott, what say you?
I basically said verbatim. I was confused because I thought that I had said it on his show. I actually said it on Greeny's show. I had Daniel Jones as my breakout star, because the question was, who can be the Josh Allen of football, and I said that it was Danny
Dimes.
So
is Keyshawn stealing your takes or not?
Yeah, a little bit. It's all good, but you can just quote your sources a little bit. Like, all you got to do is sneak in there. Like Bar said. You know what I mean? That's all you got to say. Just say that once or twice, and then it's all good.
All right, Super Bowl, though, for Daniel Jones. Is that possible?
I mean, anything's possible. In the NFL, anybody can get hot, right? The years that the Giants did win the Super Bowl, it's because
somebody says anything's possible, they don't believe it.
No. What I'm saying is about, you know, it takes a little luck to get there, right? You remember the year that they won the Super Bowl, the last one, they got lucky with a 99-yard run from Victor Cruz against us, right? When we were kicking their ass, you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is all the pieces, all the ingredients are there. They got a good defense, and they should have an explosive offense. And if they can play complementary football, they absolutely can be right there in the mix. As can, I believe, Dallas, because Dallas, you know, people are talking about defense. Defense is the easiest thing to fix. Defense is more about attitude and effort, right? And they got enough pieces to be special. You only need one or two special players.
I am in the camp of there are more than enough weapons here for him to work with, so this has to be the year where he steps forward.
It has to be.
And makes a big
step. But here's the thing, though, right? Like, he can do all that, and he still cannot pick up his option. Because guess what? Guess who may be available next year?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson may be available next year if this thing doesn't work out
there.
Aaron Rodgers may be available next year. So, listen, if I got to give up two future first-round draft picks with this roster for Aaron, absolutely, because I'm going to give Aaron more or less per year than I would give Danny Dimes.
Little bit under the radar, huge move
Sneaky.
For the New York Jets. Signing Morgan Moses to play right tackle.
So sneaky, man. Listen.
$3 million, one-year deal. That's a bargain. This guy plays.
This guy, listen, he wasn't just a starter. Like, he played at a good high level. You think about in this system, get him out on the wing with that big body out there, and now you think about, listen, you got two of the most massive tackles in the game right now, and you have what we think is a Quentin Nelson-type guard. Man. Listen, Joe Douglas has had a sneaky good offseason. That running game should be great. And listen, you should be also able to throw the ball down the field as well with the weapons that they went out and got. As we hear, Elijah Moore looks like he may be the best player in this draft. Like, it looks like showing up still. And we know that you got Davis on the outside and Mims.
All I can tell you is Joe Douglas is not just a specimen, an incredible-looking man, a snack.
Mm.
The man's got a brain. He's getting it done.
Listen, pat him and you on the back, because both you guys look like non-paternal twins going on right there. But I tell you what, man, he's done a great job, man. And listen, the Jets are on the move, and they're moving in the right direction.
ESPN Radio brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.